All right, let's open our Bibles again to the scripture Brother Eccles read, Ecclesiastes 2. This is the question that I'm dealing with this evening. Is it a sin? Is it wrong to enjoy this earth, this life, this world in which we live? Now, this story is repeated over and over again. I'm describing myself. I'm describing you. My little granddaughter is a sophomore in high school, and the teacher had them write a paper on veterans of World War II. They're studying World War II. And she gave me a list of questions to answer involving my life from the time I was born until this day, briefly. Well, a person is born into this world. This is what led me to think on this subject tonight, that interview. A person's born into this world and grows into adulthood. During that time, we go to school, go into the service, learn a profession, a trade, a vocation, certain skills to support ourselves throughout life. And then we join a company already established and begin our job. Or we start a business on our own. And we become pretty good at what we're doing. All over this congregation are men and women who are just proficient and skillful at what they do in this world. And God prospers us. We make a good living. We do well. Financially, we're blessed. He gives us skills and gifts to make a good living. And then we meet the love of our life, and we marry. And we establish a home. And we build or buy a home or a small farm, like Solomon here in verse 4. Did you notice while he was reading it? I made me great work. I build me houses. I built houses, built me a house. I planted me vineyards. I planted grapevines and apple trees and other trees, fig trees, olive trees. I had a beautiful landscape, lawn, and had fences. And I had horses, and all kind of cattle. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees of all kind of fruit. I made pools of water. I stored water so that I could water my plants, water the wood that bringeth forth trees. We have our children. They're born. They're precious to us. We love them. We have a family. We send our children to school. We protect and care for them and clothe them and instruct them and try to teach them a trade and teach them the things God has taught us. We have friends and fellowship. We're happy. We enjoy our children, our grandchildren, our get-togethers. We're blessed. I get under conviction sometimes I'm so blessed. Don't you? I feel that I'm just over-blessed in this life. Just God has just showered us with this church, this congregation, with innumerable blessings. We have a church family. Came over here and built this building and have a pastor and elders and place to assemble with the Lord's people to worship on Sunday and Wednesday night and other times. We hear the gospel of Christ that we love so much. And we just can't wait to meet with one another and can't hardly get y'all to go home at night, so we can turn the lights on. Same on the light bill, you know. Everybody wants to stay and visit because they love each other. Enjoy one another's company, don't you? We help other ministers, other churches. God just, as we've been able to help others, he's enabled us to help more. And Solomon, he got depressed when he got to thinking that it wasn't going to last. You remember reading? Now let's go read some of what he said. He says in verse 14, listen to him here. The wise man's eyes are in his head, and the fool walks in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happens to them all. Wise or foolish. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, it's going to happen to me. One day the fool is going to come to the end of life and the end of his labor and the end of all these things and die, and I'm going to die the same way. Now that's vanity. Isn't that what he said? He said, then I said in my heart, that ain't right. There's something wrong with that. That's vanity. Then why do I want to study then? Why do I want to improve? Why do I want to be wise? Why not just be a fool? We're both going the same route. That's what he's... It's all vanity. Now, read on. Now, I'm not saying he's right now. I'm saying that's what he's telling us what he's thinking, just like David did in Psalm 73. Now, look at verse 16. And there's no remembrance of the wise man any more than the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall be forgotten. All be forgotten. Solomon's vineyards and orchards aren't even there anymore. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life. Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous to me, for all is vanity and vexation. Now watch this, verse 18. Yes, I hated all my labor. I've worked and labored, and which I'd taken under the sun. Because when I die, I'm going to leave it to a man that will be after me. And who knows whether he'll be a wise man or a fool. All these things that I've built universities and colleges and for the people and an army, and I've built a nation and I've done all these things, and when I die, I'm going to leave it and somebody's going to misuse it. That's what he's thinking of. Who knows whether he'll be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor and my people. Wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun, maybe he won't be wise. This is vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and equity, and yet, listen, yet he leaves it to a man that hath not labored. Therein shall he leave it. This is vanity. This is a great evil. For what hath man of all his laboring, all the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? His days are sorrow, they end in sorrow. They're not sorrow all his days, but in his travail grief. His heart taketh not rest in the night. This is vanity. Now then, reading what he said there, and we know the fashion of this world fadeth away. What he said, it's all vanity. It will all be burned up. There's no question about that. It's all going to perish. Then is it wrong to work and to build and to improve our situation and to educate our children and build our nice homes, our farms, cultivate friendship and fellowship, work hard in the church, and enjoy and rejoice in what we have here? Is that sinful, to enjoy this earth, to enjoy this life? Yes, it's coming to an end. No, we have no assurance of what's going to happen at that time. We don't know what's going to happen to what we've made and what we've built and what we've strived and what we've given to develop. It may be burned up. It may fall to smithereens. It may be used for ugly, evil purposes. But I'm going to enjoy it while I'm here. And God intends for us to. Now watch this next verse. Watch this verse. Read it. There is nothing better for a man or a woman than he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor and lifetime. This also I saw. I saw the truth of everything material, everything in this world is temporary. The passion of this world fadeth away. It'll all be burned up. It'll perish. I can't protect it after I'm gone, nor can you. Can't guarantee the continuation of anything, even of this pulpit. But while I'm here, while you're here, by God's grace, we're going to enjoy the fruit of our labor. And I'm going to paraphrase that verse. Now listen, verse 24. There is nothing better for a man than he should eat what he grows and what he earns, enjoy what he builds, drink of the fruit of his vines, enjoy the land that he works upon which he labors, enjoy the house which he has built, and the friends and the family and the children which God has given him, because it says, it's from the hand of God. That's right. It's from the hand of God. It's God who gave it. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 27, our Lord said, a man can receive nothing. He can have nothing except it be given him from the Father. So what we have, what we enjoy, God has given us. And every good gift and perfect gift cometh from him. Who maketh thee to differ? What hast thou that thou hast not received? Now, if we received it, why should we be lifted up with pride as though we didn't receive it? The Lord killeth, the Lord maketh alive, the Lord maketh rich, the Lord maketh poor, the Lord bringeth up, the Lord bringeth down, the Lord raiseth the poor from the dust and the dunghill and puts them on the throne. It's all of God. It's all of God. So, no, it's not sinful. It's not wrong to enjoy the gifts and the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Because it's the hand of God. Read that verse again. There is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor, in his work, in his efforts. Because this I saw, it's from the hand of the Lord. That answer, God gave it to me. God gave it to me. I have a nice place to live. God gave it to me. I have nice clothes to wear. I have a wonderful family. I have a pretty good mind. I have health, friends, a fellowship, a church. God gave it to me. Someday, this life will end and it'll all be over there. But while it's going on, there's nothing better than to give him praise and glory and thank him and enjoy it. Participate, partake of his goodness. And Solomon, look at the next verse. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? You know what he's asking? Who has more of these earthly gifts than I do? Who has enjoyed blessings more than I? Some of you sitting here would say the same thing. Who in God's kingdom has been blessed more than I? That's what Solomon's saying. Who knows this more than I? Who has the power to live well more than I? The king. Who has been given more pleasure, more success, more friends than I? Verse 26. But this I know, God giveth to a man. I know that the gifts I have are from God. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. I have not the slightest inkling or imagination that any of it is because I did it or deserve it. Do you? I don't even have not even a smidgen of a thought. He didn't either. God gave it. He keeps saying that. It's from the hand of God. God gave it to me. I know that the heart to enjoy these things God gave me. And I know that the proper attitude towards these things, that God gave me to. You understand? You hear what I said there? Don't miss it. The gifts God gave me, every last one of them. The heart and help to enjoy it, God gave me. And this attitude that I have toward these things, that it is from God and not a product of my own efforts, God gave me that too. That's important. He gave me that too. If we have any humility, it wasn't born of us, it was born of Him. He gave us that too. All right, here's the key, verse 26. Here's the key. This is, I hope I can teach this. I told my wife Doris before we came over, talking this afternoon, I said, I've got something good tonight if I can just preach it. If I can just preach it. Verse 26, here's the key. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight. Now there's none good, no, not one, is there, in God's sight. I know that. But there are good men made good by grace and good women. That's the people he's addressing here. God giveth to a man that is good, that is justified, that is redeemed, that is righteous, redeemed and justified by the blood of Christ Jesus, sanctified and made holy by the life of Christ Jesus, having a new heart and a new nature by the Spirit of God. God gives to that man materially many, many blessings. All that he has, God gives him. That's what he says. That's so. Everything he has. But he gives him something else. Look at the next line. For God giveth to a man that is saved, that it knows Christ, that's in the Savior, that's good and righteous in Christ, in his sight. He gives that man and that woman wisdom and knowledge and joy. He gives them wisdom, knowledge, and joy. So that they can enjoy these gifts he gives. Now let's look at those three things. He gives them wisdom. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. What is this wisdom? Well, this wisdom is a who. This wisdom is a who. This wisdom that enables us to enjoy the mercies and blessings of God is a person. Our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are good, called, redeemed, justified, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He gives us all these blessings, materially, physically, everywhere, and then gives us wisdom. Wisdom to enjoy. Wisdom enables us to understand the mysteries of His grace in Christ. Wisdom enables us to understand that true riches are not material, but spiritual. He gives us that wisdom. Wisdom to understand the mysteries of God's grace in Christ wisdom to understand that true riches are not material, but a relationship with Christ. Let me read you something over here in Hebrews about Moses. Talk about true riches. Listen, it says about Moses. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. That's wisdom. God gave Moses, blessed him materially. But Moses saw that the material thing was not the real blessing. Christ was the real blessing. He gave Moses and given you wisdom to know that it came from him by his grace in Christ, and that the true riches are not the material things, but Christ. And while they'll perish, he never will. And then something else. This wisdom enables us to always remember that our life, our true life, is not in the things we possess, but in the Lord whom we know. A man's life does not consist in the things he possesses, but in the Christ who lives within him. That's true riches. And we know that. That's wisdom. You see, there are a lot of people who have material blessings. They have houses bigger than yours and cars finer than yours and clothes finer than yours and more better food and a lot of other things, great, but they don't enjoy it because they don't have this wisdom. I was reading about a ball player the other day that signed a contract for millions and then played ball and then got on drugs and then lost it all, and now he has nothing. He never enjoyed it when he had it, and it's gone, and he doesn't enjoy life now. He didn't have any wisdom. But God gives to his people wisdom to know that it's all in Christ, and to always remember that a man's life is not in the things he possesses, but in the Christ he knows, to understand that true riches are not physical or material. They're in Christ. And then, this wisdom enables us to really look not on these things that are seen, but on things that are not seen. Our inheritance is ahead of us. Our glory is ahead of us. Our joy is in front of us. Our satisfaction is when we awake with his likeness. So this is really nothing compared to that. Not worthy, he said, to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's wisdom. So we don't. Paul said, I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. I know how to have plenty, enjoy it. I know how to do without. It really is immaterial because I have him. And that's the true riches. And then this wisdom, this is so rich here. God, nothing better for a man than to enjoy the fruit of his labor, the things God gave him, because God gave them. But this enjoyment is because he has given us wisdom. And this wisdom enables us to hold strongly in our hearts to him, and lightly with our hands to these possessions. Ready to thank God always for them, but ready always to give them up. Ready to enjoy them, participate with them and in them, and thank God for them, but hold loosely to them, so that if he takes them, he won't have to break our arms and our hands. Oh, lightly. Cling to him, but don't cling to them. Don't do that. Ready to thank God always for them and enjoy them, but ready to give them up. Cling to him and not to them. Now, that's wisdom. And then notice, I've got to move on. He gives his people wisdom and he gives them knowledge. See, one has to have wisdom to acquire knowledge. Wisdom enables knowledge to hold to that which is valuable and to keep and then to use and improve the good things of life. Knowledge. Somebody said knowledge is a horse. And it can be a good thing. Or it can be a dangerous thing. Depending on the rider. Wisdom's the rider. Knowledge is the horse. The strength and the power to do things. But wisdom directs it in the right channel. And we have knowledge. We have knowledge. And this wisdom enables us to hold to and to keep and to use and to enjoy what we know. Now, what do we know? I know whom I have believed. I know the source of every blessing is my Lord. He giveth and he taketh away. I know the Son of God has come and given us an understanding. I know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. I know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I know Paul said how to be abased and how to abound and learning to be content. I know it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's wisdom. You see, wisdom makes knowledge applicable. If people who know things, but it takes wisdom to apply them. Is that making clear what I'm saying? Just knowing a fact can be dangerous. It can be misused. It can be used unwisely. But this is the wisdom. I know it's more blessed to give than to receive. I know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is and be like him. The Lord has given us knowledge of him and wisdom in the right use of that knowledge. Oh, I'm thankful. And the third thing he's given us, look. Verse 26, God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, redeemed by his blood, filled with his spirit, wisdom, gives him knowledge, and gives him joy. And Christ is that joy. Whether we be young or old, our joy and rejoicing is in him. His mercy. Whether we be very rich or very poor, our rejoicing is in him. Whether we have good health or days of sickness, our rejoicing is still in him. Always in him. Never changes. Whether we're feasting or fasting, it's in him. Whether we're in joy or sorrow, there's always an inward joy. Knowing that sorrow endureth for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Whether it's raining or sunshine, our joy is not in things. Our joy is in him who gives all things. God giveth to a man that's good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. And therefore, that man can enjoy all the mercies that God has heaped upon him in this life. And keep enjoying them even more. Sweeter as the years go by. Not getting mean and old and cantankerous and depressed like Solomon got that way here. But he straightened it out in that verse there, didn't he? Kept saying, vanity, vexation. But then he lightened up and he said, nothing better but for a man to enjoy the fruit of his labor, eat the things he grows, drink from his vineyard, rejoice in his what he has, because God gave it. And the way we can do that is this wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Now, one other verse, and I'll quit. But to the sinner, this is interesting. I thought, well, I'll just let it go there, but no. I did a little work on this verse here. But to the sinner, we're all sinners, but he's talking here about the worldly, materialistic unbeliever that really controls most of the wealth of this world and the factories and the shops and the empires and the organizations and the politics and the parties and all these things. To that person, the people of this world, God giveth travail. Now listen, let's see if I can make good on this. He gives us wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the worldly, wealthy, worldly, carnal, unbeliever, he gives travail. To gather and to heap up. Here's what it's saying. The people of the world gather riches, possessions, but they don't have the knowledge of him who gave it. They don't have the wisdom to use it profitably or properly. They don't have the grace to enjoy them. And what can they do? Well, all they can do is work harder, accumulate more, gather more, reach for more honors, reach for more glory, heap up more treasures, get more billions. Somebody said to J.C. Penney one time, how much will it take to satisfy a man? He said, more, more, more. To try to keep what they have, enlarge what they have, never any real comfort, never any real peace, never any real joy. They fight over the riches, and when they're gone, their relatives fight over their riches. So all that God gives, he's given you wisdom, and knowledge, and joy to enjoy the things he's given to you. And he's also that what they have is by his grace, by his mercy. But all they have with it is travail and sorrow and to gather and heap. Now watch it. And to do it, to gather, to heap up, that they may give to him that is good before God. What? Yes. Even all that these tycoons, wealthy people, building great factories, refineries, organizations. They labor and travail, never having any joy or wisdom or happiness or contentment, but they fulfill and serve God's purpose in all that they're doing. And these worldlings, their effort, their organizations, and their wealth is used for the good of his people. To give his people work. That's right. To furnish them with food. You sat down tonight and you ate some chicken at some big organization somewhere by some powerful fella making millions of dollars, never satisfied, doing all, but he fed your children tonight. You didn't have any chickens in your coop. But you went down at Kroger's. Old Kroger built a store for me to shop in. Ashton Oil built a filling station for me to buy gas in. Bunch of people built a hospital for me to take cancer treatment. They did that for God did that for his people. That's right. All that they labored and travailed and worked and cussed and sweated and toiled and heaped up and gathered up, God used it to bless his people. You got to work somewhere. You got to eat something. Darce didn't make this suit. Now, my great-grandmother might have made my great-granddaddy's suit, but I bought this and it's Stone and Thomas. And God Almighty put them in business so I could have it. I'm telling you the truth. That's what that says there. That the sinner, he gives travail. To gather, to heap up, that he may give. supply the needs of him that's good before God. And he said, Solomon said, that's vanity too. And that's vexation because, listen, or it's not vanity and vexation to us because we're profiting by it. But if that old boy knew that he was just serving God's church, that'd make him very vexed. He'd have a board meeting tomorrow night and shut her down, put all these Christians out on welfare. You know? If he knew that he wasn't doing one thing in this world but serving the cause of God's church. Can you prove that, preacher? Yes, sir. He said to Pharaoh, for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might get glory in you. God raised up Pharaoh to set Israel free. And God raised up everybody that's working in this United States for the happiness and joy and well-being of his church.
That's right.
So, my friends, did I answer my question? Help myself. Because I get under conviction a lot of times because we are so blessed, aren't we? We're just... But listen, take it, enjoy it, and thank God. Thank God. And share it with one another. Share it with one another. And enjoy this life. Don't get depressed and down and worried about what's going to happen after you leave here. We won't have to be concerned about that. Let them go. Let it blow up. Not toward my children and grandchildren. Let it hang around till they get through. But I hope that's a blessing. It was to me.